just found the very best in original talk radio broadcasting on the internet. It's LA Talk Radio. We say what we want. What we want. You're listening to On the Couch. On the Couch with Dr. Michelle on LA Talk Radio.
You are officially on the couch with me, your friendly psychologist, Dr. Michelle. Happy day to y'all. Hope it's going great for you. Make it more so, and stay tuned on LA Talk Radio today, all day, and especially right now, because coming up for the next hour, we're featuring me and my producer, what we're calling Celebrities on the Couch. Yes, all the latest news that's been picked over, gone over, analyzed, dissected. We've got the latest for you from that. Boy, that was abrupt. By the way, shout out to Capital Sons, the group who intros my show. That song is called Spark. Dynamite group, man. Anyway, yeah, you're on the couch with Dr. Michelle. If you would like to give me a call here, we're doing live stuff today. The number 323 area code. That's beautiful Los Angeles. 203-0815, 323-203-0815, and as I mentioned, we're talking about Celebrities on the Couch with Dr. Michelle. We're going to talk about some of the latest celebrity news that has probably been stuffed down your face, but what I'm going to do is put a little psychological spin on it for you. You know, you get the news, you get reports, you get hearsay, you get speculation, but I'm going to share with you some of the information that I have about situations that I've encountered that are very similar to what some of these celebrities are going through, and maybe give them some advice. Maybe they can listen to Dr. Michelle. Heed my suggestions. Hopefully they have therapists of their own. God willing, they do. So they can get through some of this crazy stuff. Also, I have some really sick psychologist jokes sent in by some of my listeners, which I will share with you. Really sick. They are good. They really are good. I'm going to handpick some real good ones. And if we have time, answer a few personal listeners' questions. By the way, if you want to email me, you can find me on my website, drmichelletherapy.com. Dr. It's abbreviated. There's no period after that. It's Dr. Michelle with two L's, therapy.com. And check it out, my website, telling you about how I can help people make positive life changes. And to detox the drama in their life, which is what most of these celebrities I'll be talking about today need to do. But, you know, in that lifestyle, what the hell? It's really hard to do that. It's the environment. Some listeners' questions. How to get rid of self-consciousness, Dr. Michelle? How do you get rid of it? I'm so self-conscious. We'll talk about it. I'm not making fun of you, girl. It's the way it is. We all have it. It's just, to what extreme does it disable us in being able to socialize and have lives? And also, how to process and express some difficult feelings, according to Jeff, who wrote me. Maybe we'll get to that as well a little bit later, because I like to help him out, because it is hard to be able to express. Because, you know, those men, they are from Mars, you guys. Most of the men I know, though, are really, really well, do really well expressing themselves. Almost too well. You know, they're better than I am. Anyway, here we go. Of course, the biggest news yesterday, if you happen to watch the Oprah Winfrey Show, or opened anything on the internet, or read any newspaper, heard any radio station, it's about Mackenzie Phillips telling Oprah Winfrey that, God, she was raped, supposedly, by her father. Yeah, that was the news. She's written a book, of course. And she, of course, is trying to get a lot of publicity for it, which is understandable. I mean, you know, she's been around a really long time, and she wants publicity. So I get that. What about that? I don't know. Her life has been marred by drug abuse and arrests. Come on. She's done heroin. She's been shooting directly for how long? Who knows? So she said she was engaged in a 10-year consensual sexual relationship with her father, rock star John Phillips. Remember, he was with the Mamas and Papas? She also was on that sitcom, One Day at a Time, back in the 70s, kind of continued through the 80s. So she tells Oprah that she was first raped by her father in a hotel room when she was 18, while she was passed out after a drug binge, but of course continued to use drugs and have consensual sex with her dad for years. That's just sickening, right? Blech. And supposedly the relationship continued long after she married Jeff. Remember her husband, Sessler? Yeah, she married him when she was 19. And according to the book, the relationship with her father ended when she became pregnant and feared her father was the baby's father. God. She had an abortion. So her book's called High on Arrival. Catchy, isn't it? So she, according to the Oprah Winfrey Show, she said she woke up that night from a blackout. Yeah, she was doing drugs. She was shooting heroin. And she found herself having sex with her father. I don't know how it started. She said she was raped. Of course, come on. For a moment, I was in my body for a horrible truth, quote. But then after years, I boxed it away. I started very early on in my life compartmentalizing. Okay, she said this was the mother of all difficult experiences. I have spent the last 30 years trying not to look at it. All right. Now, her mom, who's Michelle Phillips, she's the stepmom. Remember stepmom, Michelle Phillips? Mamas and Papas? Right. She told The Hollywood Reporter that she believed these allegations were false, and the book is hooey. The stepmom says that Mackenzie had a lot of mental illness and that she's had a needle stuck up her arm for 35 years. Sounds like a warm and fuzzy mother-daughter relationship, doesn't it? She probably has, though. The mother said that Mackenzie also is jealous of her siblings who've accomplished a lot and did not become drug addicts like her. Actually, Mackenzie Phillips did confront her dad about the rape, but he characterized their relationship as romantic. Okay, excuse me, I'm going to be sick. After the first experience, says Mackenzie, I went to my dad and said, we need to talk about how you raped me. And she said, my dad said, quote, raped you? Don't you mean made love? By the way, she was fired from that show One Day at a Time, that soap opera, as they call it, daytime drama, in 1980 because she was out of control using drugs. She was fried coming to work. She didn't show up. She was late. She couldn't handle it. And then so Michelle's daughter, rather, Mackenzie, began to travel with her dad's new band, the new Mamas and Papas. And then she went back to doing drugs regularly. What do you mean? She was doing drugs regularly when she was on One Day at a Time. Isn't that ironic? The daytime drama show is called One Day at a Time. Uh-huh. And that's the Alcoholics Anonymous credo, Narcotics Anonymous. One day at a time. Take every day as it comes. And stay sober. Well, guess she didn't live what she was doing. Oh, and in the book also, High on Arrival, she says that it didn't happen every day. We didn't have sex every week, but it happened many times. My father was not a man with boundaries. He was full of love and sick with drugs. I don't know who to believe. You know, she's got a book. She's trying to, you know, make a comeback, I guess. I guess she's sober now. I met Michelle Phillips several years ago. Sat down together at a benefit for the American Cancer Society. I think John Wayne's family was putting it on. Really seemed like a sweet lady. Just kind of mellow, sweet, had her head together. Sensible. Didn't talk about Mackenzie. But anyway, she seemed like she had her act together. Here's the deal. When you're on drugs that long, it kind of changes the chemicals in your brain. We start to have false memories sometimes. Maybe her and her dad did get together or whatever. I don't really... Who knows? Who knows the real deal on this? She's saying she did. Who knows? But here's the deal. Yeah, she was 18, which means that, you know, there was consensual sexual relations. But I would be willing to bet there was something going on before that. Why? Well, of course. It just doesn't all of a sudden appear usually to happen. If you have a father or an uncle or a stepfather who's going to be molesting a daughter or stepdaughter, whatever, usually starts early. So I don't really know who to believe in this particular case. Her brain is fried. She's been on drugs. She's got a ghostwriter, of course. She's filling in the blanks. And I just don't know who to believe. It's a really difficult thing. She was 18, she said. The problem is, you know, her drug abuse really has, you know, fried her brain. A lot of false memories, a lot of created stories. We call them fabrications. And that happens to a lot of people who've been hooked on many drugs for many years. They start fabricating their past. They start making up a lot of stories from their past. So I don't know. Who knows? Who really knows? But I would be willing to bet that this book is, a lot of it's fabricated. Now, I'm not saying her dad is an angel and he's pure and all that, but that just makes me sick. You know? That's abuse in itself. Used to work at a clinic with quite a few abused older teens and young adults, sexually abused. And they were the kind of people who did drugs because they did shove down their feelings. They had a lot of unresolved issues, as we call it, a lot of stuff down there that they didn't want to talk about because they thought they were bad. A lot of cutters, you know, they hurt themselves, they cut on themselves because they felt they deserved it. And or the other explanation for that is that they're numb because they shoved down feelings because they had to survive. So they're numb from being sexually abused. And so in order to feel, they have to cut themselves and hurt themselves. That makes them feel real sometimes. So there's a lot of explanations for that. It's horrible and sad and very, very difficult to see. But in a clinic, a rehab clinic that I worked at, a lot of these young women had gone through this. They didn't have falsified memories, but they didn't want to be Hollywood stars, and they weren't as strung out as Mackenzie Phillips, a lot of them. So who knows? Also, the stigma with a lot of women and men, young men who've been raped when they were young, when it starts a little earlier, even in their teens, and goes on into their adulthood, they were abused. They were victims. They were victims, and they feel it was their fault. Now, you heard that old, yeah, Good Will Hunting, the movie. It's not your fault, with Robin Williams. That shit is true. It's really not your fault. You, as a child or a teen, did not come on to your parent, or your stepdad, or your uncle, or your whoever molested you, or your priest. Guys, had one of those clients, too. Phew, poor guy. It was my fault. And you see, as children and as teenagers and young adults, you like the stimulation, so you keep doing it because you don't know any better. And usually, a lot of times, the adult who's abusing the child or teen or young adult does not let them tell anyone. They threaten them. Like it's their big little secret or they're special. All in all, it's really sick. And if this book is at all false, shame on her. High on arrival. Mm-hmm. And I'm talking about it. I'm selling books. What the hell am I doing? Hey, let's give a little ode here. I don't know if you read some of the stuff. We're moving on to Celebrities on the Couch. But it was kind of cool. I think Dirty Dancing made Patrick Swayze a superstar. And reportedly, when he first read the script for Dirty Dancing, he thought it was a little kind of fluffy. in his memoirs, nothing more than a summer camp movie, quote. Yeah. But he did it, and he became famous for it, and he was great. Very sexy. Great dancer. Great guy. And supposedly his reaction was completely different about the other future smash we all know him for and love him for, Ghost. He actually persuaded Jerry Zucker to cast him because the director was really skeptic. You know, Jerry said, I don't know, Swayze always plays this tough guy. But he said, I can play a sensitive leading man, and indeed he did. And, of course, in his memoirs, he also worked with Tom Cruise. He wasn't a big star back then. Tom wasn't in Francis Coppola's adaptation of The Outsiders. Remember that? Yeah. Anyway, we love you, Patrick. He passed away September 14th from cancer, and we'll miss him. He was a great, great actor, very talented guy. Sweetheart, too. All right, moving on. Who else? Who else? Of course, John Travolta's in the news right now. Took the stand yesterday. What a horrible thing this guy's been. What a horrible thing. Give this guy a break. Come on. He had to testify against those two people who were accused of trying to extort $25 million from him after his son died. And, of course, his wife, Kelly Preston, who's the actress, she was there. They're in that Bahamas courtroom. And he had to relive this once again. John Travolta said that he performed CPR on his son, Jet, after a nanny alerted him that his teen had fallen ill at family vacation home on Grand Bahama Island. He was 16 years old, and then he later died of a seizure. He said, I, quote, ran downstairs with my wife to help my son and did the best I could. He saw the caregiver trying to do chest compressions and administering breathing help. And the young man passed away, which is horrible. Just terrible. So that's testimony yesterday was apparently the first time that John Travolta talked publicly about his son's autism. He said that his son suffered from Kawasaki disease. That's like a rare condition in kids that involves inflammation of the blood vessels. This poor kid had, he had so many things wrong with him. You know, he was so sick. So anyway, the case is about John Travolta trying to testify against the defendants. There's a paramedic and a former Bahamas senator who tried to blackmail John Travolta with private information following the death of his chronically ill son. And it was about, he said something about signing a release form to not transport the son to the hospital. He signed the release form. You know, the deal is John Travolta is a pilot, and he wanted to get his son to a hospital ASAP. He wanted to fly the jet to get his son rather than a long ambulance ride. He wanted to get the kid in his jet. So anyway, both the Bahamas Senator Bridgewater and Mr. Lightborn, the CPR guy, pleaded not guilty. They're free on bail right now, but they got to show up in court. So, and they said, hey, if you don't pay us $25 million, we're going to release that document, that refusal to transport your son to the hospital, because we're going to show that you were negligent. That's something that somebody would sign when refusing emergency medical services. And that kind of releases the first responders from liability, is what it does. He wanted his son taken to the airport. Travolta is a pilot. He could have flown the damn plane in the private jet. Anyway, that poor kid, he really had a terrible bout with many disorders. He had autism, and he also had that seizure disorder, which killed him. And 25% of the kids with autism actually also have that seizure disorder. So that's really sad. And seizures statistically become more deadly when combined with neurological conditions. You know, the kids who have autism or cerebral palsy or mental retardation. Anyway, I really hope Travolta gets these guys. I hope they go to jail. I really do. Did you know that John Travolta, of course, and Kelly Preston, they're not the first celebrity targets of extortion plots. You know, every big star has an extortion plot. Come on, everybody. But just to name a few, remember, pop them up in your mind. Rob Lowe, Bill Cosby, Tom Cruise. Remember the gay guy that said, I was lovers with Tom Cruise. I can prove it. Yeah, somebody else came out there saying that too. Bruce Willis, Steven Seagal, basketball great Michael Jordan, Ellie McPherson. I'm thinking, who else was, oh God, targets of alleged extortion? Celine Dion's husband? Oh my God, the gazillionaire? Of course. And of course, the late Michael Jackson. They've all been the target of alleged schemes to extract millions of dollars. Although none of these cases involve the death of a child. Kind of sad, too, the Bahamas courthouse where the trial is being held. Yeah, about 3 years ago was the scene for the inquest after the death of Daniel Smith. He's the son of the late Anna Nicole Smith, if you remember that. So anyway, I hope they throw the book at these people and lock them up. If they tried to extort John Travolta out of $25 million bucks. Speaking about Michael Jackson, as we continue Celebrities on the Couch with Dr. Michelle. Oh yeah, you can call me. We're here at latalkradio.com, LA Talk Radio, and we're live right now. 323-203-0815. And Michael Jackson's homicide case, it probably pick up steam in the next couple of weeks. It's kind of a keeping a low profile right now. The case is going to be presented to the L.A. County District Attorney in 3 to 4 weeks. And the bulk of the investigation has been completed, supposedly, and that Dr. Conrad Murray is the lone suspect. And the authorities have requested opinions from all different medical officials who are expected to submit their findings in the next couple of 3 weeks or so. And then they're going to organize stuff and then present it to the DA. So, insiders say that Dr. Murray won't be arrested until he's charged with a crime, assuming, of course, he's charged at all. Michael died from that cardiac arrest. Wow, it just seems like it was June 25th. My gosh, it was that long ago. He was later found to have lethal amounts of the powerful sedative propofol in his system at the time of passing. Anesthesiologists use that, by the way, in hospitals. Yeah, if you're going to have general anesthesia, that's the best. It's real good. Good stuff. A lot of people are saying, I don't want to have propofol now because I'm having surgery, and then that's what Michael Jackson died of. Well, it's called being in the hands of a professional. That's why you have a professional, American Medical Association board certified anesthesiologist doing your surgery, because he knows how to use it. You don't take it home and use it in an IV to get screwed up every day. So this Dr. Murray served as Jackson's personal physician, and he did admit to give the propofol to Michael. It was officially ruled as a homicide death, though, last month. And he is directly in the crosshairs of investigators right now, Dr. Murray. So we'll see how that goes. A lot of family members think that there was a lot of... Oh, yeah, LaToya. Did you see her on that interview with Barbara Walters? Oh, yeah, she said that there was a lot of people who wanted Michael dead, who were behind us, Dr. Murray, who had him killed. Who knows? Maybe she's right. It's all about money, honey. Maybe that's right. A lot of people say he was worth more dead. Sad. Wonderful, wonderful entertainer, genius guy. And speaking about the drugs, overdosing, all that stuff. The court documents show that a pharmacist refused to fill a prescription order for Anna Nicole Smith 5 days after the death of her son. Yeah, this pharmacist was given a whole huge order of pharmaceuticals to give to Anna Nicole Smith from her doctors. But this pharmacist said, it's crazy. It's the Valley Village pharmacist. And he was alarmed by the quantity and strength of the drugs ordered by a psychiatrist, saying they amounted to pharmaceutical suicide. And the pharmacist called Smith's internist and said, I'm not going to fill this order. You're crazy. You got to be kidding me. Now, do you know what they ordered? 300 tablets of methadone. Yeah, it's the heroin substitute. Mm-hmm. Two types of sedatives, which are probably benzodiazepines. Yeah, really heavy-duty ones. You know, maybe some serious Xanax or something. A muscle relaxer. A little Soma there. Throw that in. Anti-inflammatory drug. And four bottles of painkiller, which the pharmacist referred to as hospital heroin. And she died of acute combined drug intoxication 5 months later. Somebody filled those meds for her. Somebody got them for her. Back February 8th, 2007 is when she passed on in Florida. So the prosecutors are charging her psychiatrist, Dr. Urushevich, and her internist, Dr. Sandeep Kapoor, and of course her boyfriend and lawyer, Howard K. Stern, with conspiracy to provide her with controlled substances. They're all three pleading not guilty, of course. Aha, but we have the videotapes of Anna Nicole, totally fried out of her mind, with her internist, kissing and partying on the couch. Sexual activity. Busted. He's toast. He's done. And also her psychiatrist, a woman, Christine Arosevich. Videos of her. Yeah, having a sexual tryst with Anna Nicole Smith. Isn't that wonderful? Yes. These guys are toast. They'll never practice again. Hopefully. They're done. They're done. Who else entered rehab recently? Burt Reynolds. Let me tell you about that. Boy, this guy's really gone in and out. He's had some troubles for years and years and years. But old Burt's hanging in there. We love old Burt Reynolds. He finally entered rehab. He checked into a treatment facility in Florida to... He was really addicted to painkillers. He had a recent back surgery. And this is what happens a lot of times. You have a major back surgery. One of those, what do they call them? Laminectomies, where they put that the titanium steel in your back. They do fusions, and they put the steel in your back and they reinforce. I mean, these people are amazing, and they have these surgeries down to a fine science now, but it really is painful. I have a patient right now who's going through it, and she had it 3 weeks ago, and she's being pulled up with a strap to walk. Get off your butt and walk. They want to get you moving so you can start functioning again, but it is painful. Anyway, he said he was a prisoner, Burt Reynolds, a prisoner of prescription pain pills. He was busted. The National Enquirer was following him around, and he was on, it's Florida's Hanley Center. It's a really good rehab center. So, you know, they're trying to, where's Burt Reynolds? Let's get him. Somebody called and tried to make money. And the National Enquirer paid whoever. He's walking around. Poor guy. Anyway, he said that his story will hopefully help others in a similar situation. He's, by the way, working on a film with Chevy Chase. It's a comedy. It's coming out like next year. No, I think later this year, like around the holidays or something. It's called Not Another Movie. Especially with Chevy Chase. You're not another movie with that guy. Anyway, good for you, Bert. Good for you for coming out and saying, you know what? I need to check into rehab. I need to get some help. I've got some problems going on here. No, it's not good. It's not a good thing. So good for you. I recall also at that same clinic I worked at, which really provided a wonderful service. It was inpatient rehab as well as outpatient daily therapy groups. I worked at both and helped folks get through many of their psychological issues that were associated with their addictions. We call them dual diagnosis folks. So with the depression, with the drugs, you get anxiety as well. It triggered a lot of other illnesses as well. Bipolar disorder, some of their drug abuse, some of their earlier trauma in their family. And there were a lot of clients who were major addicted to pain medications, many of them from surgeries that they had. You just get addicted to it because, you know, you need to relieve the pain. You start taking these things like candy, though. And I'm not talking... I have one client who was a very high-profile actor, actually. He was addicted. you know, it's candy these days. Because they're doing the OxyContin thing nowadays. He was addicted to Vicodin ES. Any kind of Vicodin. Come on down! Yeah. And he would pose and disguise himself as a realtor. I'm serious. He made up fake cards to get these drugs. This is how he got his drugs, because no doctors would give them to him anymore. They said, well, you're done. You had your surgery. You should be titrating down off these things. We'll give you a little maintenance pain meds. But he would disguise himself, and he'd go into open houses that realtors would have. You know, open houses or caravans, as they're called. And he was a pretend realtor for a pretend realty. And he would walk in there and give people his cards and walk through the houses and steal the pain meds out of people's medicine cabinets. Or he'd go into a bedroom and look in drawers. Yes, he did really well. I hope I'm not giving anyone ideas. Anyway, he was very clever, and he was a good, he was a very good disguise artist. He was an actor. Still is. He's done. He's done with that. Remarried, healthy, sober, back on his feet, doing pretty well, actually. So he got through that. It's very hard to detox from those things. And you know, like Burt Reynolds checking himself in. Check yourself in. If you're going through that, get yourself sober. You get a lot of support. You get a lot of people that have done the same thing as you have. You get, you know, you're not alone in this. And it's not easy. It's very painful. Withdrawal sucks. Really sucks. And then the psychological addiction to it, as well as the physiological addiction, continues on. You want it, you want it, you want it. But after you get into rehab, you get the help, you go to therapy for a long time, the psychological addiction continues, because it's so easy to go back to, I want to be numb, because I have a pain. But then you get into, I want to be numb, because I never resolved a lot of emotional pain that I had when I was growing up. You see? So that's what that's about. We had a couple of calls that just blew off, my producer said. Give me a call back if you'd like to comment on some of the celebrities on the couch with Dr. Michelle today here on LA Talk Radio at 323-203-0815. It's all, you know, this is crazy. It's all about drugs, isn't it? It's all about addictions. Oh, well, this morning, Britney Spears. This is the latest. She's going to share 50-50 custody with Kevin Federline. TMZ reported this morning. I want to give them some credit on that one. At least through the end of the year, L.A. County Superior Court judge extended the order that was initially put in place for Britney's concert tour. She gets to travel with Sean Preston and Jaden James. Those are her little kitty poos. And she must provide ex-husband K-Fed with a place to stay if he wants to follow them on tour. And I think probably he will, because he gets in all the wonderful hotels, and he gets to spend time with his kids as well. And he's supposedly a pretty hanging in there, okay dad, according to the media. The sealed order is very detailed, but Britney gets minimum 50-50 custody, and at times she may get even more. And you were wondering what Kevin Federline, he hangs around. He's a good dad, but he ain't no dummy. Kevin Federline is getting $20,000 a month. She pays him that. Britney pays him that in child support. And that's nothing for her, apparently. He gets between $20,000 and $25,000 a month when the kids are outside of California. So he gets a lot of dough. He gets, about $50,000 a month. Just, you know, for being the dad and taking care of the kids, and that's good. And hopefully they're happy, and hopefully they'll be well-adjusted. And so at the end of the year, the judge is supposed to reevaluate custody. And the TMZ reported that the 50-50 split is probably the way of the future. Now, I think that's great. I think that's great. Kids are going to go on tour. Dad gets to stay in hotels with the kids. Hopefully mom will not be screwed up or on pills. I think she's sober now. Remember all the hoopla when she was transported to the hospital a while back and saying crazy things and all that? They said she may have bipolar disorder. You know, staying up all night. Racy thoughts, manic thoughts, manic behaviors. Wahoo! And then being depressed, staying in bed, and not moving for long periods of time as well. They said, of course, she had addiction issues. That could have been the problem. That's the problem with a lot of musicians, of course, because you're working all night. You're rehearsing all day. You don't sleep. You don't eat. And, of course, you take medications to keep you awake and to help you get down so you can get down because you need to sleep or you collapse. So, you know, that's really a common problems, a problem with a lot of music performers, especially actors as well, but performers like Britney Spears. That girl, you know, ever since she was a kid, she was going 100 miles an hour. And who knows, she may have bipolar disorder. And those meds are great that they have to manage those things. Hopefully, if she does, she's taking them. Yeah. The antidepressants and other meds are not addictive. But they will help, you know, manage manic symptoms. Britney Spears. Okay, I'm glad the kids are going to be with her mom. I think it's important. And their dad. Important. I just hope they don't grow up screwed up. You know, they've already seen their mom in a bad place. They've already seen her. They already kind of know. They're used to the spotlight and getting whatever they want. I just hope they keep these kids out of the spotlight. Keep them a low profile so that they can be happy and live normal lives. Normal, whatever that is. Just want them to be loved. I hope they have family support as well. Britney's mom. You know, other supportive relatives. Britney's sister, right? Auntie. Uh-huh. Oh, whatever. They've got to have a few healthy relatives out there who are good role models for those kids, hopefully. And Kevin Federline seems to be back on his feet again, doing pretty well. So there you go. There you have it. Celebrities on the couch with Dr. Michelle. If you'd like to comment on any of these things, go ahead. Give me a call back. It's 323-203-0815. And I was going to answer a question from a listener. Where was that? Ah, here we are. Got an email from Jeff. I wanted to get to this because, I don't know. Dear Dr. Michelle, I want to know how to get rid of my self-consciousness. A lot of my friends tell me I'm an okay-looking guy. But whenever I go out, I feel like the women ignore me or they're not interested in me. I feel very awkward when going up and hitting on women, trying to meet them. I feel awkward at my job. I feel like I'm shy and I don't have a lot of self-confidence. So how can I help myself with my self-consciousness? By the way, if you have an email you'd like to ask me a question like this or anything else, you can find me at docmichelle@aol.com. docmichelle@aol.com. Go ahead. Log on. Ask me any question you'd like. That'll, of course, get directly to the show here, and we can talk. Also, if you'd like to check me out on my website, it's Dr. Michelle Therapy. Dr. Michelle. No period at the end of doctor there. drmichelletherapy.com. And that'll link you to my email as well. So getting back to Jeff here. So you want to be confident? You want to feel confident? Is that the deal, y'all? He wants to feel better. It's not an overnight acquisition. It takes a little while, but you can do it, man. You can do it. I get that Jeff is a working. He doesn't tell me how old he is, but I guess he said he's out working, and he says he's a pretty good-looking guy, according to his friends. But he's shy. He has a lot of self-consciousness. So you have to, Jeff, recognize what your insecurities are. Kind of define, first of all, what does that voice in the back of your head say? Why do you feel a little ashamed of yourself? You know, whatever it is. Regrets you may have had. I don't know, messages you got growing up. You weren't worth it. You may be ashamed. You didn't feel like you were good looking in school. You were picked on. Mommy, daddy, uncle, aunt, siblings made you feel bad. Give it a name and write it down. Okay? Whatever is making you feel unworthy, just recognize it. Talk about it to some supportive people. If you have some supportive people in your life, there's no quick fix. Just kind of get to the root of the problem. Focus on it. Get some help from a therapist, psychologist, whatever. And then understand what you need to resolve before you move on each issue. In other words, I was given the message, whatever it was, Jeff. I was given the message that I wasn't worthy by my dad. You know, I know, we always blame it on the parents. How sad! Oh, God! Poor parents. We have such heavy burdens, don't we? But it's true. You know, we don't model the best behavior to our kids all the time. And because out of our own insecurities, we put our crap on our kids. So wear it down. Chip away at it, Jeff. Find out what messages you got growing up that made you feel sort of unworthy. Who did you get these messages from? And nobody's perfect. Jeff, even the most confident people have insecurities. You got to understand that. That's reality. Why do you think all these people I've been talking about, these celebrities on Dr. Michelle's couch, what do you think I've been talking about here? It's about insecurities. You know, if they love themselves and their bodies and their brains enough, they wouldn't put crap into it. They wouldn't go, they wouldn't buy into all this phony crap from the people that are around them. It's really a messy place to be. Nobody's perfect. It's just sort of how we deal with the bumps down the road in our life. So, Jeff, also, try to identify your successes. Yeah, everybody's good at something. So try to think about the things that you excel in. Focus on your talents. I don't care what it is. A hobby, an interest, something you do for yourself that, you know, you're really good at. And give yourself permission to take pride in what you are good at. I don't care what it is. Give yourself credit for the things you do well and your successes. You know, we always think about the things that we've done wrong or said wrong. And we torture ourselves. Oh, God, I should have done this. I should have taken that relationship. I should have gotten divorced earlier. I should have left that person earlier. I shouldn't have been such an asshole when I did that. You know, stop it. Stop. Shoulda, coulda, woulda. Old stuff. Move on. Okay, just move on. So that's the thing. Identify your successes. Forgive yourself for the stuff you did. We all make mistakes. We all screwed up. Get over it. And maybe check out some new interests that you can, you know, grow with your talents on. Jeff, might be a good idea. Okay. And by the way, if you find hobbies or interests or something like that that you really enjoy and you're good at, you can join groups, and then, hey, it'll increase your chances of meeting compatible friends. And that lowers your self-esteem. The more social you are, it's like exposure, more exposure to people, and kind of having common interests and feeling a little more accepted. And be thankful for what you have. So a lot of times, the root of insecurity and lack of confidence is a feeling of not having enough of something. You know what I'm saying? Whether it's emotional validation, whether it's, good luck, money, a lot of good relationships or whatever. Just be thankful for what you have right now. Sounds like you're working. Sounds like you have friends who say, yeah, you're a good-looking guy. You got some support system going on out there. And try to be positive, even if you don't feel positive. You know, just kind of switch that language. Avoid the self-pity. Never allow others to make you feel inferior. They can only do it if you let them. Do not give them the power. If you continue to belittle yourself, others are going to do it as well. You know, you put out the energy and you get it back. That's the way it is. So if you find some inner peace, forgive yourself a little bit. Be thankful for what you have and be positive. It's going to do wonders for your confidence. You know, look in the mirror every day. Oh, I know, it's painful, isn't it, sometimes? Hey! Get up in the morning. What the hell? I didn't have that line there. I know, for guys. Am I going bald? Am I losing hair? Look at the circles under my eyes. Oh, my teeth look like crap. But anyway, try to look in the mirror and smile. Just go by the mirror and smile at yourself. Don't have such a, scowl. And don't go, oh, God, look, I look like hell. Look in the mirror and smile. Go, hey, I know if you don't feel like it. But just say, hey, I look pretty good today. Not fake it. Along the same lines of smiling to make yourself feel happy, acting confident might actually make you believe it. Act as if. Fake it. Pretend you're a completely confident version of you. Okay, you know the people who you have as role models are guys who you think friends, who you think are good looking and get all the chicks? Act like them. Act as if. Don't be a jerk and a creep, scare women away, but you know what I'm talking about. Stick to your principles. You know. Stick to your principles. Have some principles. And what's a really good thing to do is help others. I don't know what kind of work you do, Jeff. You didn't really specify. You didn't tell me what's going on with you. But, you know, when you know you're kind to people around you and you're making a positive difference in other people's lives, even it's just being kinder to people around you, in your office, your family, who's decent, you know what I'm saying? You'll know that you're a positive force in the world. It'll boost your self-confidence. You know, putting it out there. It's what you put out, you're going to get back. You see? And stop worrying. Stop focusing on it so much. What worries you today will be forgotten by you and the people around you tomorrow. Right? So if you're feeling a lack of self-confidence, or you're thinking, oh, I really look stupid, or I really acted stupid last week when I went to that party or club. Stop it! Doesn't matter. You have a right now, today, to take a new step out and change. You know? Yeah, you don't worry about stuff. Move on. Don't let people get to you. Don't let people affect you. You see what I'm saying? All right, Jeff. I hope I helped you a little bit. Now you can give me a call if you'd like. 323-203-0815. That's here in L.A. Oh, you want me to read the jokes? Okay. Producer says, read the jokes. They're really good. I got some really sick jokes. Oh, by the way, if you want to email me another question, or if you have relationship issues, questions, problems, things you'd like to ask, comment on the celebrities on the couch today, you can do so on my website, which links to my email address. And it's drmichelletherapy.com. It's drmichelletherapy.com. Okay, let's see. Some of the jokes that were sent to me, really bad psychologist jokes, they're really actually pretty good. So here we go. This one comes from Sarah. Okay, Dr. Michelle, a guy goes in to see a psychologist. He says, Doc, it seems I can't make any friends. Can you help me, you fat slob? Kind of like that. This also from Sarah. Hey, Dr. Michelle, what happens when a psychiatrist and a hooker spend the night together? In the morning, each of them says, $120, please. Da-da-tsh. It's pretty good. Alrighty. What else? I don't like that one. That's too dirty. No, I'm not reading that, Sarah. That's crazy. No. No. Let's see what else. Oh, here's a good one. In a psychiatrist's waiting room, two patients are having a conversation. One says to the other, why are you here? The second guy answers, I'm Napoleon. So the doctor told me to come here. The first is curious and asks, how do you know that you're Napoleon? The second guy responds, God told me I was. At this point, a patient on the other side of the room shouts, no, I didn't! Inner delusions of grandeur. I like that. Ah, what else? Ah, sexy joke here. Okay, it's kind of cute. Kind of stupid, but it's kind of cute. All right, here we go, Sarah. Dr. Michelle, a man goes to a psychologist and says, Doc, I got a real problem. I can't stop thinking about sex. The psychologist says, well, let's see what we can find out, and pulls out his ink blots. The Rorschach tests. So the psychologist holds up the first card and says, what is this a picture of? The man turns the picture upside down and then turns it around, and he says, that's a man and a woman on a bed having sex. The psychologist says, very interesting. He shows the next ink blot card and says, what is this a picture of? The man looks at it, different directions, and says, that's a man and woman on a bed making love. The psychologist tries again with a third ink blot and asks the same question. What's this a picture of? Patient again turns it in all directions, looks at that ink blot, and says, that's a man and a woman having sex. The psychologist says, well, yes, you do seem to be obsessed with sex. Me? Demands the patient. You're the one who keeps showing me the dirty pictures. I love ink blots. They're so cool. Oh, God. They're great. All right, what else? One more joke. Actual bumper stickers? I took an IQ test and the results were negative. Ah! He who laughs last thinks slowest. Friends help you move. Real friends help you move bodies. Ah! And the last, finest, and certainly not the least, great bumper sticker. You're jealous because the voices talk to me. I really do have to get a rim shot thing. These are great. Thank you so much, everybody, for emailing me all your great, great jokes. This is Dr. Michelle, and I've enjoyed being on the couch with you today. It's been a fun day. Yeah, you can find me at drmichelletherapy.com, drmichelletherapy.com, and, of course, find me on my website there and what I'm all about. Email me, too, docmichelle@aol.com. Ask me questions you have. Keep on sending the great jokes, the great questions. I'll help you out if I can here on the show. And every Friday at 11 live, we're here on LA Talk Radio. Have a great day and do take care of yourself first. Please.
Of sound, but I see.